Podcast episode 350. Dahmer, what was it? I fucked that up.
Dahmer's Sandwich Company.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Okay, so I'm Saverin.
I haven't changed and I still cannot talk. I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And the gang's all here. See, we promised she still existed. So we're leading off this week with the fact that Roger Ailes died, the head of the progenitor of Fox News, the breaker of media, and one of the key elements as to why we're so fucking divided nowadays. Mm. Partisan politics and partisan news. And so there was somebody online like, well, just because, you know, don't let him be known for all of his horrible shit. He was a speaker and raconteur and, you know, just because he abused women and terrorized them for decades.
And gave us Donald Trump and,
and Fox News. What about all the good things he did? And someone was like, you know, Charles Manson played guitar. John Wayne Gacy was a clown and children's entertainer and a member of his local community. And, well, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer could make a mean sandwich. And there we go.
And now we are full circle to explain the goddamn episode title.
Yep. I like to include at least a little bit of explanation sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, last week I just did a micro episode, which was literally called Knockcast Micro. Because not exactly the most exciting title.
Did you explain what happened last weekend? Last week?
We ended up just talking on your porch and smoking hookah.
Because we hadn't, like, seen each other in any kind of, like, sit down and chat.
It'd been a while.
Yeah.
It'd been a while.
Yep.
So we ended up just getting distracted by catching up, and then it was 9:30, and well, like,
yeah, you know, it's way too late to record at this point. Let's just fuck off. But yeah. I still wanted to record an episode to just be like, okay, this is the shit that's been going on. So we can just lead off with other things. So my car thing, my car nightmare is continuing.
Oh.
So, all right. So 3 months ago at this point, I was hit by a distracted driver.
Yes.
And I've been going back and forth insurance company.
Yes.
I called, it's like, just for fuck's sake. So I emailed my rep on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then I called her and got a voicemail. And I emailed her again. And then I called her voicemail again today. Basically, I got her voicemail. Such and such is not taking calls at this time. This voicemail box is full. We will be disconnected now.
Ah, something is going on.
So then I emailed her manager, who she had included as a, and this is my manager's link. And I emailed her, and I basically, like, look, this fucking sucks. In a polite way, but my gist was like, this fucking sucks. This is taking too goddamn long. It's going to be another 3 weeks before they can see my car. At minimum, just fucking cut me a check and take the car away.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email response back. I'm out of office until next week. So I have a third email that was like, if it's an emergency or time sensitive, please email this. And I have to just email that person and be like, hey, you're the third person I'm trying to talk to. I want you to send a rep out here to look at this piece of shit, say, wow, it's a piece of shit, and cut me a check.
So you can be done and go get another car.
Yeah, because I've been looking at stuff. And actually, I'm thinking I might go for a Matrix because they're not that expensive on the secondary market.
No.
You've seen how durable they can be with fuzzes.
And mine.
And yours.
And he also has experience driving a Matrix.
Yeah.
and getting stranded in the middle of,
in Longview.
Yeah.
That town has tried to kill me twice, but it's failed both times.
So just don't take your Matrix to Longview.
Yeah. So be like, oh, we're going to drive this Matrix to Flaw next time. Oh, God, no. It's happening again.
We should all drive Matrixes to a con sometimes and have, like, a Matrix furs me up and try to make owning a Matrix a thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, these are the coolest cars. Fuck your couch. You
they just keep going. They are
this thing will hold five fursuiters. One in the passenger seat, two in the back, and one in the trunk.
So much stock.
Yes.
Well, we've been to Foix. We've driven that thing up to Anthrocon many times.
It's not like every year.
That's actually part of the thing. Is like they're super durable because we've put it through hell.
Yeah. How many miles is yours up to now?
140-ish, 145.
I think of mine's 120.
Yeah. My Little Rabbit's right at 118, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's just sucked because holy shit, it has taken so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just.
And you've had driving to do, and you're going to have driving to do because ACON's in fucking Fort Worth this year.
3 weeks.
Oh, God. It's
no,
so
2 weeks.
Soon.
It's 2 weeks.
Well, I said it's in Fort Worth. I didn't say time frame, but.
So I need to find a car in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which.
2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, I mean, budget wise, like about $8,000 I can throw down cash for if I need to without wiping out savings, but it's just like.
It would be nice to know at least what they're going to give you for the rabbit.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Is it paid off?
Oh, yeah. It's super paid off, and we didn't pay that much for it. It was only had 55,000 miles on it. It was a few years old when we got it, and I've had it for a number of years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've more than doubled the miles that it had when I got it.
You probably got your money's worth.
Driving to Fort Worth, driving to Weatherford, driving to
McKinney, this, that, and the other, yeah.
Mm. But Granville.
That lady was looking at her phone and just plowed into that Mini and plowed into me. If she'd hit me a little bit harder, my car couldn't have driven. I would have had this resolved a lot sooner. But no, my VWs were just that strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, this last weekend, so that's annoying news. But on the cool front, we did go to see Last Podcast on Left Live.
Yes.
Last saw you guys.
Podcast on the Left Live.
At the Texas Theater
in Oak Cliff, just south of downtown. That little stretch of road's actually pretty well populated for being so old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of little bubbles like that in Dallas, or like this little historic area or whatnot.
And it's like the theater is right next to their community center. They were doing a live poetry slam, while we were waiting in line.
Two doors down from that.
Yeah. They had a little art installation thing. So that's cool. It's got a little community center.
I grabbed like $25 in cash before I left because I was like, parking is always a bitch at this thing. And it could be $5. It could be $20. I don't know. I get down there, street parking.
Across the street.
Right across the street from the theater. There's a spot available. I'm like, I'm having that. Parking meter. Savern looks at a sign. Oh, parking's free after 4 p.m. or 4 or 6 p.m. or something like that. And I was like, so we just got this perfect parking spot, and it's free. I'm like, okay, that works. Great.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I've seen that a couple of times.
My sister and I.
I love the way the ears pop out.
Just boink. Sorry, silly gif.
It was cool, though, because we ran into Marcus and not Henry. Fuck. We ran into two of the three guys right off the bat.
We ran into the tall white.
The tall white, yes. My sister ran to them and was like, oh, my God, can I get a photo? And she got a photo. And then
Ben Kissel. Ben. God, I got to believe.
Ben, like, and Marcus. God.
Yes.
So she ran into Ben, and then Marcus. Ben's the tall one.
Ben's tall. We ran into Marcus first. I shook his hand.
And then Ben, my sister saw Ben, and he's fucking tall. And my sister's short. So
she
got a photo, and as I was taking a photo of her,
Ben.
And Ben.
Then Marcus came and photobombed. Yes.
So she was super happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fun show. Like, it was a little bit of everything that they do on the podcast and a little bit of horror show. Like, because there's a video aspect, you know, the truth is out there.
Yeah.
And then, like, cute dog thing and gore video.
Yeah.
Cute dog thing, gore video. There's a random screamer in the middle. And it was like a variety show of the show.
Yeah.
They had a cryptid and they had a serial killer and they had a Nature of Reality.
And furry art.
What?
So furry art? The first thing they were talking about was a cryptid, like the Beast of Muddy Lane or something like that. Something out of Virginia. And they described it as having like a wolf's head and big muscular body. So it's kind of a werewolf Bigfoot kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, and there's an artist rendition of it. And it's this fucking blue anthro husky. Like a speedo,
like on all fours with obvious bulged speedo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, furries.
And of course, Savern and I are fucking dying. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I think you got a picture of that when it was on the screen.
We did
to reverse image search it.
I think it actually may have been something that they commissioned because it wasn't coming up.
Oh,
but okay. I haven't done a reverse image touch. But I'm looking on E621 for blue husky speedo. You know, it's like how many descriptive tags can I pull up here? Looking over shoulder, looking at viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted a picture of it to my Twitter account. So if anybody had recognized it, I'm sure I would have been notified.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. And
yeah, it was. It was a nice night out.
We did book out after the show because it was super fucking crowded in there. Like, it was sold out.
Yeah.
And so that many people cramming into the non-theater section of that space would just be really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And then we went to Cafe Brazil and had that. And that was good.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, it's been a long time since I've been, like, quote, out on the town.
Yeah.
You know, this was like a Saturday night. You know, we went out to this theater show and then we had dinner.
It was one of those things where, like, it was actually the first live podcast show I've been to that wasn't one of my own.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
And whereas I've attended like 5 in the audience, 2 of which involved you and Flame.
Well, like, my sister has gone and seen Welcome to Night Vale and whatnot, too. So.
Which I haven't listened to. And, like, everyone was back in the day was like, oh, my God, it's great.
And it's still going. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's gotten books. And it actually tells, like, a long narrative.
Yeah.
It does tell a story eventually. And it's real interesting, but it's super fucking long. And then you fall behind. But then you're like, wait a minute. It's a podcast. I can download that shit arbitrarily and listen to it on a road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. What else?
Of course, you've seen Kevin Smith's stuff.
Yeah, Smodcast and Tell Him Steve Dave. And I saw that was Zap. And that was like a fucking 5-hour long night or something like that. Because it was like first one podcast, then the other. And then everybody came out on stage at the end for like a Q&A and general bullshit.
Wow.
That's a long.
So it tickets were like this one. They're like $10 or $20. It wasn't super expensive.
Yeah, it was $20, and then like with the convenience fee, right? It was like $75. So that's $25 a ticket total. But again, it was an hour and a half show, super fun. They had a full bar, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a canned Guinness. My sister had a blood and honey, I think.
I don't know.
Their prices are bar prices, whatever.
Yeah.
It was just neat. And the theater itself is historical. It's is a theater where they caught Lee Harvey Oswald after he assassinated JFK.
Oh, yep. Wow.
And has had a very checkered history since then of like fires and going out of business and being reconstructed, this, that, and the other. It used to be like one of the largest theaters in Texas. Like an actual movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a theater. They do show old movies, but they also primarily do stage show stuff.
Yeah.
And they seem pretty packed.
They actually had a little, did you notice a little section in the lobby where it had what appeared to be part of the original design, like under glass?
Yeah.
Like, this is the shit that was there like 50 years ago. Yeah, because
it was like wood and stuff. It had been redone with like stucco.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was very, like, it had been updated in like the 70s or something.
Yeah.
But the original construction was still there.
Because there was that period of time where, like, nobody really gave a shit about that early 1900s to 1930s kind of architecture and just stuccoed over it.
Yeah.
And then later on, they're like, we want to actually preserve some of this shit.
Yeah.
Some of this is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they had a real nice bar. Like, the bar itself seemed pretty nicely made. And it was a really fun time.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that they didn't have a merch booth because I would have bought a shirt.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising because I know they make shirts because I seen a dude wearing one at Anthrocon one year. We struck up a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah. And merch booths are where they make a lot of the money.
You would think.
Yeah.
But no, it was a real good time. I had a lot of fun. So.
Woo! All right, so here's an actual serious topic.
Oh, yes.
So, Califer.
Oh,
Shiva, God. Are you up on that? What happened with that?
I know that there were threats made, so they ended up yanking the little/baby fur panel just due to security concerns. That's the last I heard. Is there anything more that's come out of it?
Okay, so Califer basically, I think they really dropped the ball on their response. So they ended up pulling both of their BDSM panels. Both of them. There was two total. I think the other one was like wax play or something like that. So open BDSM panels. They're 18 plus after hours, real late. You don't got to go to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But some motherfucker had to call in threats over a panel.
Yeah.
Right. And first of all, the fuck is wrong with you? It doesn't matter what the panel's about. If it ain't illegal, don't go to it if you don't like it.
Right.
All right?
Don't ruin other people's fun. Like,
there's tons of shit at a con that I have no interest in or is actively disturbing to me. And, you know, I just don't go to them.
Yeah. Like, baby furs are certainly not my thing. Like, yo, you do you, but keep it away from me. But I'm not going to go to that panel.
Mm-hmm.
So why the fuck would you... anybody send threats to the hotel or the staff over it?
Yeah,
it's super fucking stupid. And I think the con really fucked up though by a number of levels actually. Like, yeah, I'm armchair quarterbacking here, but as somebody with con org experience, this is something that you can definitely input on, Jiva. So we've had threats put towards Limer Nights before, and our response after we looked into this kid who was making the threats was, do it, Philly. They didn't show up. They didn't do shit. No one's actually going to fucking show up and do shit at a con. They're making noise and making, trying to blow smoke up your ass. And if you freak the fuck out, especially when you can determine it's not anything credible, it's, you do a disservice to yourself, your credibility, and everything else. Because they fucked up one by announcing that we are canceling a panel due to threats. Like, what they should have done? They take the threats under advisement, and they go, huh, is this likely to do anything? They should have come with the conclusion, probably not. Further, they could just, they should have just talked to the panelists and said, hey, we've received some threats. What do you think we should do? And given the panelists the opportunity to say, all right, let's not do this.
Well, I don't know who was actually threatened. Was it hotel employees?
I think it was both. It was both like con staff and their people calling in threats to the hotel.
And
that
now,
was the like, impression
I got. If this panel happens, I'm going to set off a stink bomb. That's not a diaper, huh?
Well, it might have even been the hotel coming down and saying, hey, you can't do this.
But
at which point it should be
you don't,
that gets communicated to the con. The con communicates to the panelist.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple explanation is that there's been issues going on. The hotel will not allow us to have this.
Yeah, or you just do the due to changing circumstances. Like, what this...
And you do what you can do to make the panelists feel better, you know.
Yeah, because these are people that were coming in to discuss their littles thing. It's like a baby fur thing, but it's also a adult baby diaper lover kind of thing too. It's also baby fur. It's also
the impression I've gotten from a couple of sources, like, this is an outside BDSM group that is like close with the con, like, yeah. I don't know if they're furries or they have some crossover or something like
sure
that. There's a thing in BDSM called littles, where you're basically role playing an age. It's age play.
Yeah.
Basically.
But it's not necessarily as young as baby.
Yeah, but it's more like
may or may not be,
kid and they're the parent and they're taking care of you. Or
it may or may not be sexual. That's up to the individual couple, what they're comfortable with. The person I just asked about it was like, it's really not very different from like pup play and other things like that. So apparently they had this panel last year and they'd called it, you know, BDSM littles and whatever the other term is. And this year, and there was no problem with it. And this year, they wanted to, like, put forth the idea that it was more relevant to furries and
made it
like a baby fur and friends kind of related thing, because that's the analogy in the furry community, basically.
Yeah.
And apparently somebody flipped their shit and decided to threaten the hotel and the con staff over it.
And so basically what they've done is they've basically said, hey, if you threaten us, it works.
And now we'll cancel.
They have negotiated bandits with terrorists, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like,
they... And not only have they done it, they announced that they...
And you're right, but they announced it, and then they announced a little bit further, but they didn't give any details to it, to what they were doing. They're saying, yo, we pulled a panel because of threats! Hand wave, flail. And that makes people go, what? What the fuck? like, they should have handled this so much more discreetly.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't have been noticed except for the people that were really hoping on the panels. And if they'd asked the con could have just said, due to changing circumstances, we couldn't run this panel this year. We're sorry.
We'll see about this in the future.
And there would still be, well, there would still be drama created on the internet. You would have a lot of, you would probably have the baby furs saying, ah, they're anti-baby fur, they canceled our panel, what the fuck?
And
but it just wouldn't put the con in the position of being like, we capitulated to internet bullies and canceled a panel. Yeah.
And this also took out, like, this also results in the cancellation of the other one. They had, like, their two BDSM panels, and they're both canceled which now.
There were no threats against, apparently. The con, like, proactively canceled it just in case anybody had a problem with it. And it was run by, like, different people anyway. So.
And it's just super fucking shitty. Like, I don't.
Excuse me.
Sorry. It's a real self-righteous piece of shit that would call in a threat like this. It just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, could be some fucking burn fur raider bullshit. Doesn't matter. What does matter, though, is that the con fucked up and publicly capitulated to these assholes.
Like, there can be shit happening at a con that you don't like. And you can either not go to that panel, if it's a panel, or you can approach the con staff and voice your concerns. But threatening the con staff,
threatening the hotel,
and calling the hotel and trying to undermine their relationship with the convention, whether it's threats or spreading rumors or anything else, that's where the line's drawn. That's just shitty. Like, if you have a problem with the con, I mean, definitely talk to the con about it. I mean, most cons welcome feedback, and there's a scritch and bitch session and stuff like that. You know, and you can, I mean, you'll be ignored if you raise hell because there's a single panel that you're, like, really offended by. It's like, you know what, I'm not religious, but I'm not raising hell because the Christian Furs panel have a panel, like, every Sunday at every con I've ever been to. In the fandom, there's been a Christian Furs panel.
My God.
And I'm like, we've had one every Sunday at Fiesta.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't call the fucking Intercontinental and threaten to bomb them because of Christians, you know? It's just like, I just don't go to that panel.
I'm going
to
bring a lion to your panel.
A, because I'm not religious, and B, because fuck going to that panel at like 9 o'clock Sunday morning. I mean, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Apparently the people in this group.
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently Christian furs wake up early.
They wake up early to go to church. I guess they'll go to furry church. Yeah. Who knows?
Why not? I mean, hey.
Furch.
God.
And that's just an example of something I'm not interested in. I mean, I don't go to, like, Fursuiting 101 either, but I don't, like, write up a sign and picket it.
You know, I don't play werewolf, but people sure as fuck do.
Oh, my God, I totally don't get that. Like, it's like there's games, right? There's all these games, and that's great. Werewolf. And then there's, like, werewolf. People, like, go apeshit over this one particular game like it's a way of life for them, and I'm just like,
I don't have any idea, dude.
Okay,
I played it a couple times. It's not bad, but I don't understand the love of it.
Exactly, it's probably a fun game, but like,
it's also multi-hour.
Yeah,
it's a super big time investment.
Depends on who's running it. Some people can move it along pretty well, and others are just
like, I've played Town of Salem online. That's pretty quick, but. That's also.
But anyway, so your point, basically, the con could have handled this
so much better. They've been around long enough to know how to do
as
this
a convention
shit.
Holder and like involved in like Fiesta's exec staff, I watched that. It's like, you did not just put that out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And like, I put this forth to my PonyCon friends and to my con staff, and like, yo, this is how you totally don't handle this kind of bullshit.
Mm.
And, you know, I hope everybody has a good time at Califer, but
too.
I think the con org needs to really reevaluate their crisis management plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, from what I understand, a good portion of Califer is, it's kind of an older con. It's kind of a gray muscle con. And I'm thinking a lot of the folks there probably just don't have a sense of how to handle internet drama.
Yeah.
You know, when this kind of shit comes up.
You would think so, being older and probably been on the net longer than some of these kids have been alive.
Yeah, but social media is a new beast.
Yeah, true. Mm. So, and of course, to round out more on the topic, people have asked official fandom lawyer Boozy Badger what his opinion is. Mm-hmm. And since he is the official fandom lawyer, we must totally talk about it. So, his tweets from @BoozyBadger. You guys really want my opinion? Fucking fine. One, my understanding of baby fur is that it's age play engaged in by consenting adults, which may include a sexual aspect, and so fucking what, so long as they're goddamn adults and not fucking each other in public. Jesus fucking Christ. Let's be grown-ups that acknowledge that some people have kinks that don't hurt other people and you don't have to like or participate in them, or even fucking approve of them. To recognize that what two fully grown people do or don't do with each other is none of your goddamn business, and you're free to not fucking participate. Two, cum porn is something I have a moral issue about, but less so than I would with pictures of actual fucking children being abused, which seems to exist in a legal gray area in some regards, while possibly being arguably illegal in others. Either fucking way, my concern begins and ends with, are goddamn kids harmed or likely to be harmed by its production or consumption? If the answer is no, you do you, but keep it away from me. I have no interest. Mm-hmm. So, official fandom lawyer has weighed in.
I was reading on something on basically, Cracked is a weird site. They do some really stupid clickbaity stuff. Mm-hmm. But then again, they've done some actually really good social issue articles.
Yeah.
And they did one recently, I think it was recently, or either that or it got recycled recently, on pedophilia. More specifically, non-practicing pedophilia. And it was basically about adults who realize that, yes, they have attraction for children, but trying to seek help for this is virtually impossible because the moment you mention that you have this, in order to seek treatment, you get flagged as a goddamn pedophile. Because, you know, so in the process of trying to get better and get treatment, you then will essentially be throwing yourself into, you know, sexual predator, all that other stuff. When you've never done anything, you won't do anything, or you'd at least like to not do anything about it. You realize and recognize this is wrong, but there's no place for you to get help. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how Germany actually does have a program for basically folks that admit that this is a thing, but they're not doing anything about it. In fact, they're trying to get help for it, and so that they actually have programs to help treat people, get them to, you know, control urges, all this other stuff. Where the U.S., pretty much as soon as you say anything to a psychologist, they have to report it. So there, it comes down to a lot of what we know about pedophilia comes from criminals who have gotten caught. So actual practicing pedophiles who then they'll make all these claims about, oh, we were abused, all this other stuff as kids. But the moment they hook them up to a lie detector, the amount of claims, they won't lie while they're being detected because they've read the books. They know that they can scapegoat out of abuse, but the moment they hook up a lie detector, they know that this isn't going to fly anymore. Mm. So
they weren't actually abused. It was just
Or else they're not willing to go down and to clarify. Mm. So a lot of what we know about pedophilia and such comes from criminals, not from folks who actually have this urge but manage to resist acting on it. And then there's something about how there's an actual brain chemistry that's actually demonstrable from when they've hooked them up to AEGs. It's actually a really neat article, and it made me look at it. It's like, wow, if you have these urges, you're kind of on your own. The closest thing you can get to help is like anonymous self-help groups on the internet. Mm-hmm. Because God help you if you ever actually, you know, go to any physical meetings, because the moment someone outs anybody, you're all fucked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like, oh shit.
I remember us talking about this maybe a couple of years back on the show.
Yeah, I think probably when the article was originally posted.
No, it's like, I was like, man, that sucks. I mean, even if you want help, trying to get help without getting you know, thrown in jail is, that's kind of a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, it's the same with, like, a lot of things that are, like, fantasies or urges that would be illegal, you know, like rape. Some people have fantasy or a kink for rough sex, and they actually want to rape somebody, and they can do, like, role play and stuff like that, but it's like, if they're just attracted to that, I mean, they can mitigate it with a consenting partner, but, you know, you cannot act on that, like, fully, you know, or what if you, like, really want to strangle someone to death, you know, like all my coworkers just, no.
I can only come unless you die, until you, I can't talk tonight.
I'm rubbing off on you.
I can only come unless you die, if you die.
But, no, I mean, that's totally understandable, and it'd be interesting to, well, I mean, they're having, who knows where the fuck particular sexual proclivities come from, you know, be interesting to actually know that. And
because humans get off to weird shit.
They do.
Something that has nothing to do with reproduction. And
what, like, are you showing us there?
Sorry, it was a pic that popped up on Twitter. It's a golden retriever on the beach
with
people doing, like, leg bicycles. And the dog's running around on its back, too. So it's like, I'm trying to do it, too.
The other video of that I saw recently that's kind of similar was there was a little girl doing cartwheels, and then her dog tries to imitate her. So she keeps doing it, and, like, the dog is, like, flopping on the four paws, you know, trying to do a cartwheel.
Dogs are...
Dogs are special. So, dog update. Apollo is currently still at my parents' place. Dog update here. Obviously, Apollo can't live here. He's the wrong kind of breed. We don't like those kind of dogs around here. Car issue means probably putting that on hold until I figure out car stuff. Because that's a very large financial investment. And so, too, is getting a dog. That's like $300 off the top. Like $150 pet fee, $150 pet deposit. And, so that sucks. But my parents are taking care of him for now until we can find him a home. Because he is a big pupper who needs a home that with a yard that he can't get out of.
To do big pupper things.
Yes.
Because
He's big. It sucks because I posted a tweet about this. I talked about it on the micro episode. It's a Spitz mix, looks like a golden palm mix thing. His name is Soul, and his owners abandoned him in their apartment when they moved out. The pieces of shit.
I hate that.
And because he's chipped and has owners, and I say the quotation, the city has to basically hunt them down and say, are you going to relinquish ownership of this dog? Or are you going to come get him? And pretty sure that they're going to relinquish ownership of the dog, but the city has to get in contact with them for them to say this over the phone. And until such time, he can't be, like, adopted or interacted with or anything. So he's stuck there, and
they have to basically make a good faith effort to find the owners before they can adopt him out.
Yeah, and they say, well, that way they can't be like, oh, the city stole my dog. So that sucks.
So my last company, we used to do... handle a lot of foreclosed homes. And when homes get foreclosed, it's not unusual for the people who are living there to absolutely fucking trash them.
Yeah.
It's also not unusual to have them leave behind their pets.
Yeah.
My ex-boss, who was, you know, not... I wouldn't call him fiery. I mean, you didn't want to get him mad at you. But he was also, in very ways, kind of milquetoast and PC. Well, one day, pictures came through that a real estate agent took when they came into, like, they just got into the property the first time, start documenting all the damage, and they found a Rottweiler who had been shut in a bathroom and this for, like, a week. And I saw the pictures of the bathroom of this poor dog. And just saw heard through the pipe what this dog's condition was. And my boss, who didn't really show a lot of passion about you know, work was work and everything else. The mask actually slipped, and I saw how enraged he was about this treatment of this animal. Mm. And just went, the respect just went tick, tick, tick. Yeah. Because this was, I swear, he would have punched the guy if he laid hands on the homeowner.
Yeah.
But I saw, and I heard of so many cases where people just, when they left, they just shut their animals in the house. No food, no water, just...
Yeah, I just don't fucking get that. I just could not conceive. I mean, again, I also said, like, last week that just going to an animal shelter makes me want to cry. So, you know.
I mean, I could see if you, okay, give them a lot of food, give them a whole bunch of water, and hopefully the real estate agent or the bank, when they come the next day.
Yeah.
You know, but don't just, like, leave the animal in there to suffer.
Look at this boy.
Yeah, I saw pictures of him. How many pounds is he? I mean, how big is he?
He's size small. They don't have his information listed because he's up on the list of like animals at the shelter, mm-hmm. because they list also animals that have been found, mm-hmm. And they have add a little addendum with the weight, etc. of him. I think he's like 25 pounds or so.
So not huge.
No, he's pretty small, really. Mainly poof. He's a lot of poof and skinny, but because he's there at the shelter and basically waiting on his owners who abandon him, he doesn't have any information. It's just sad. Because there's lots of other pups there that are just too big or the wrong breed or they're mixes or, it's just, it sucks.
Like mixes that you can't have?
Yeah. Like there was some little, like a little dog mixed with an Akita.
Mm.
And Akitas are prohibited breeds. Or, what was it? There was some other one. But basically, it's a lot of pit mixes end up at the pound. And pit mixes are explicitly forbidden, even though pits are generally pretty doofy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been properly socialized, they love everybody.
Yeah, the problem is that then you get folks that... either a backyard breed, and then they're not well socialized as babies... Or, I hate to say it, with pits, there are some more aggressive lines.
Yeah.
You know, same with German Shepherds and others. You know, there are lines that have been traditionally bred to do this. But you have other lines that are just fine. But people who don't know what they're doing get one of these and...
It's going to be my big, tough yard dog, yeah.
I suggested to Saverin to start a... pit-specific rescue and call it It's the Pits.
I have to have a house and land for that.
I don't know enough about pits, really, to... Like, if I had a difficult pit, I wouldn't know how to socialize it and basically turn it around.
There's a lot of pit bull rescues out there, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're very heavily discriminated against breed, there's a lot of rescue groups that work together to do that. Like, when it came up to, like, you can't have this dog at your apartment, I had to do some digging, and there was a couple of websites where it's like, here's a dozen pit-specific rescues. But generally, they're all full up, and they're very hard to get critters into.
Mm.
So, that sucks. Trying to own a dog in an apartment is iffy as best, too.
I didn't have that much problems with Bo next door.
Yeah, true.
Honestly, I really didn't. But then
that complex doesn't have breed restrictions.
No, it doesn't have breed. It doesn't have weight. You can have whatever dog you want there so long as you pay the fee.
Yeah.
And they've got both that wooded area and you've got the power lines that run behind both our places.
Yeah.
Where we would just take Bo out and run him.
Yup.
They don't have breed restrictions, but they do have bred restrictions. Pitas only.
Oh,
no
man.
Sandwiches.
But... Are two pitas a sandwich?
Yes.
Is pizza a sandwich?
Pizza is not a sandwich.
Pizza's a taco.
Oh, okay.
I just take a whole pizza, roll it up like a massive joint.
No, like, it's light it on it's fire. A churro.
Pizza burrito.
Pizzerito.
Oh, man.
So is a calzone just a sealed taco?
That's right.
It's an Italian pierogi. You're just going to mix everything up now. Is fried chicken a sandwich? Oh, wow, that pun was so bad, fried Discord fell over.
Sandwiches have bread, Anakin. I'm assuming you've seen that meme.
Yes. All right, so we're going to stop and save. We're at about 40 minutes in here. And
Severin,
then we've got,
what? Nothing can save us.
No. This is just our show.
You know why nothing can save us? Because we didn't go to the Christian first panel.
We must ban it for everyone's souls to be. Everyone's souls get to be damned. Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no! When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive a free sex swing. Hang that sex swing to your door and hang on tight. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, they're not kidding. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type in NOT in the coupon code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get a free sex swing and free shipping. Just use offer code NOT at AdamandEve.com. That's K-N-O-T, NOT at AdamandEve.com. All right, you boglins. Back to recording.
Back to work.
What is a boglin?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're fat, ugly troll doll things. It's kind of like the dragon thing that Avery had at HavenCon.
God, that creepy ass.
Yeah, except it's like a goblin baby and not a dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're back. Buy some dongs, please. What?
Are we selling dongs again?
Are we?
Yeah, we've had the code going. It's okay. Just one of those things where they fixed our deal where it's now 50% off an item and free shipping. Coupon code NOT at AdamandEve.com. I recorded an ad and I inserted it into last week's, well, not last week's episode, but the week before last.
Oh,
because,
okay.
You know.
I didn't know they had fixed it, so we actually get, like, free shipping and good shit again.
Yeah. They basically were like, yeah, they changed the deal because they noticed nobody was using it anymore. I was like, yeah, because the deal was shit. And they were like, oh, what if we do this one? That'd be good. You might actually sell some tongs that way.
Because it went from really good to really shit. So we get the half off and free shipping again?
Yeah. Half off, cool. Free shipping, and a free sex swing.
What?
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, you hook it to your door, and, like, most people of our podcast audience probably can't use. But anyways, yeah, there's a little ad I recorded, and, you know.
Wow, I can't believe we get half off and free shipping with coupon code NOT.
At AdamandEve.com.
Well, it was so shitty for so long, nobody would do anything with it.
But it's not anymore, Shiva. Now it's 50% off and free shipping.
Half off, I'll order something.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, seriously, we would... The last 2 years we had that shit deal, because it's actually been 2 years.
But now it's an awesome deal. It's 50% off of creation.
There were months where we had sales that eclipsed all of, like, the prior years.
I've totally forgotten, Severin. What's the deal again?
This isn't like an audible ad where we have to talk for, like, 2 minutes. The ad is actually like 45 seconds and it's pre-recorded. I inserted it
on Patreon. Well, on audible.com, you can hear my favorite book, The Hand Job by Stephen King. It's a haunted hand job.
Oh, spooky. So anyways, back
to the
actual show.
It's a skeleton hand. It's very bony.
Some people
like
that.
It's like a chafe.
Yeah, you know, they moisturize their bones. They get all the calcium, the extra calcium.
That's true.
So you can always email the show. Anotcast@foxsuffers.com, or you can go to our...
Have you ever seen a skeleton cum? I have.
Tumblr, notcast.com, will redirect you there. And you can totally send us
arrow.
Anonymous. That would be really gross and bloody.
And disturbing on
it,
so
it
many
levels. It looks like a Mortal Kombat 3 pixel blood effect.
Oh, man. That's just bad. Don't fuck the skeletons, kids.
Clank,
I'm working
clatter,
on my
clatter,
Undertale
clatter.
Slash fic.
Oh. You know, I will give you props for knowing that, Fuzz, though. Good job. you made a pop culture reference that's a bit video game related.
Yeah, I know. Yay. I think this is the first time.
High five, Fuzz. Good job.
We are proud of you.
shower me with accolades.
Yeah. And you are bone juice. Bone hurting juice. Ow, my bones.
So where else can they find us now that Fuzz is derailed?
You can email us at notcastfoxstuffers.com if you want to attach a name to it. Go to notcast.com, which takes you to our Tumblr where you can send us anonymous asks. There.
And
Twitter. And you can follow us on Twitter.
You can follow us on Twitter, but that's the end of show stuff. What are we doing here, Shiva?
I don't know. You decided to go into this.
We're going into emails. We've got like 7. It's okay, Shiva.
Oh my god.
It's been so long. I totally understand that you haven't been here for so long, Shiva, but we have a protocol to this show.
Oh, that's bullshit. We do not.
Gotta follow the rules.
And that protocol is not MP3, it turns out.
Yep. And what's great is that now that the patents have fallen off, people can use it freely.
That's right.
And people are like, it's the death of MP3. No, just the death of you making all the money off of it. Smiley face. So, all right. We're going to start out with this first email that makes me raise an eyebrow.
Oh, right. Yeah. This guy.
Do I want to read this? Or do I want to ban this person from my chat?
On to the next email. No, you read it if you want. I don't care.
All right, so we're going to read an email that's making me do the skeptical finnick look. It's this fantastic sticker that I use in our Telegram chat. All the guys.
Oh, God, they're so great, yeah.
And it's just this is close-up of a finnick, squinty-eyed, looking vaguely annoyed.
Well, in the other sticker set that's so you, the one where he's, like, reading a newspaper.
Yeah, he's kind of looking sipping around. His coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's giving you the Fennec side eye.
I have some very good sticker sets.
Yes.
On Telegram. So, this one's titled, What Society Is Today? Dear Naughty Notcast, your friendly neighborhood Fox Dragon Cookie here is here and well. I am writing about a serious topic. The story is, me and this one friend I have were eating at a local pizza joint and we talked about politics. But it turned into a very interesting topic. Here is my point of view. People nowadays on both sides of the political field are being major hypocrites. I'm including both liberals and the conservatives in this because people don't see it. If you
Warning, impending false equivalence. Warning.
Sarcasm levels ratcheting up. Allow me to expose the hypocrisy. There are a lot, and I mean a lot, of SJW, BLM, and feminist groups that will say stuff like, you can't be racist to a white person, and the same principle applies to everyone no matter what. You can say that statement to any race, and it would still be considered racist. What?
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
The conservatives, which you probably already know, see a lot of the minorities as self-victimizing, which, by the way, they get triggered over a dude saying happy holidays and a red cup from Starbucks. I know that maybe 2 or 3 years from now, that still baffles me to this day. There's a lot more I could say, but a feeling I know that all out there on the news, like stuff like this, is just depressing to me. Sorry I kind of ran it a little bit, but I felt like this is a very important thing to bring to light because a lot of people don't seem to be aware of this. I am very smart.tumblr.com. I already give word advice to pretty much everyone out there. If you read this all on the show, just remember that we as a group of stupid and doomed organisms on the same planet as everyone else, we are humans. We are one race of beings that make mistakes, bend the rules, and other shit. We should be treating others as we want to be treated because everyone on this planet matters. Sorry for the wall text and again for the ranty behavior, but I hope to lead to good debating for you guys. Love you all to death and stay naughty, Cookie Fox Dragon. Okay. So,
See, he says he's looking at both sides of this, but it really just seemed like a slam against,
you know, darn SJWs and liberals.
I didn't see, reading this particular email, I don't see anything really calling out the conservative side of things at all.
Well, the stuff about getting triggered over the Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
Or happy holidays. Like, yeah, there's people that get all super mad about that.
Yeah, but they are so few and far between. Most of the people I know, even who I know are diehard, you know, freaking conservatives, don't think that shit is stupid.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, I really hate this. Both sides are too bad, so I'm going to be this shitty edgelord in the middle. No, you're not. You're not being a shitty edgelord in the middle. And, like, I actually had to ban someone from the chat the other day. They literally threw out the line, well, Nazis were leftists. Like, what the fuck? And they were getting back. They were getting into it with Cero. Mm-hmm. And Cero is good that he'll just be like, the fuck is wrong with you, son? And then he'll generally ping me and be like, get some fucking eyes on this, dude. Because I'll be doing other things and not looking at Telegram. And suddenly he's like, yo, this dude's being a dipshit. And there's just like, oh, Christ, really? And having to just be like, all right, well, you know, you're not really going to. If you're going to keep this up, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and there's been times when Cero said, am I overreacting to this? And I said, look at it. It's like, yeah, you are.
But even then, it's one of those things where, look, coming in there with false equivalences and stuff like that, both sides are too bad, therefore I'm not going to do this. Like, you have to look at what it affects on other people, too. You know, systemic racism is not an issue for white people.
Right.
Like, systemic racism versus individual racism is, there's nuance to this shit.
Yeah.
And it's something you need to educate yourself about.
Yeah.
Like, as a white person, you'll run into it occasionally. Like, you might get some shitty comment by somebody.
I think that's what he means by individual racism.
Yeah, and that's what I was agreeing with.
Yeah.
It's like, you might run into it occasionally, but you're not going to overall run into it in your
to place the of vast
work.
Amount that non-white people will.
Yeah.
You go into the Mexican bazaar and they might look at you funny and speak Spanish at you and pretend they don't know English and not want to deal with you, but that's those individuals.
Yeah,
not
and they might not actually speak English. So.
Yeah, that's totally possible too.
It's the same people that are like, you know, when you see feminists raising issues that women face, and then there's always the moron that's like, well, men have issues too. Because
that's good.
You know,
we're not talking
like,
about those right this second.
Right. Yeah, we're not saying that they don't. But when you look at like. Women's issues, huge. Men's issues, not. Because men in charge of society, basically.
Yeah.
And it's that false equivalence again, you know? And the whole thing of, like, what was it, National Women's Day?
Yeah.
I think it was called. And, like, well, shouldn't there be a National Men's Day? And it's like, well, there is. It's in November.
Yeah.
If I recall.
And it's one of those things where, like, someone had, like, a Google Trends chart. It was like, when do people, like, what day is National Men's Day? Most Googled on National Women's Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where, well, I guess I'll just be a lefty feminist SJW cuck lord at the rate things are going.
This is the same kind of bullshit that makes people say, why shouldn't there be a straight pride parade? And why isn't
there... Or white pride month.
Why isn't there a white history month?
Why isn't there a National Association for the Advancement of White People? You know, and it's like, because in American society, you know, white male, Christian white male is the quote unquote default setting. It's the default basic easy mode difficulty setting relative to basically anybody else.
Yeah.
And you as an individual can have a shitty, hard life. There's no denying that. Like, hello, grew up in literal poverty here. But guess what? I'm not anymore. I mean, I grew up gay in Texas. That's a bit of a difficulty modifier, just saying. But I still didn't face certain issues because I'm white.
Yeah.
You know.
And this is where the whole idea of intersectional comes in, because you do face some issues because you're bi, but you don't face other issues because you're white. And it's sort of recognizing both, you know. But, like, if you're a queer person of color... Then you're kind of doubly disadvantaged.
You're on, like, Dante Must Die mode. Super hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, trans people, trans women of color are murdered into, like, staggering degrees, even compared to white trans women.
Yeah.
Which, actually, just being trans is a fairly dangerous thing in this society.
Just existing.
Yeah.
And especially if you're one of the trans folks that don't pass, you know.
Right.
And that's because I've met folks where everything has, the dice is rolled and they pass perfectly. And they still have issues, but anyone who doesn't pass 100%, they have a whole heap more of issues. And, I mean, God help you if you're a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then there's also, like, you know, there's trans women that are tomboys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like being a trans woman doesn't mean embracing the most extreme example of femininity. You know, mm-hmm. you might be a trans woman that wants to have short hair and wear jeans. And, you know, and that's your right to do. And you shouldn't be given shit about that, let alone, you know, murdered for it.
And, wow, and like... also if you're a trans person and you happen to be gay, you know, and, oh, well, why didn't you stay as birth assignment? Well, because that's not what I feel
that's
like.
That's not, because...
It did, just because... Because
dysphoria is fucking weird like that.
Yeah. I mean, I can be a woman and still be attracted to a woman.
It's like,
you know,
the idea that happens. Gender is a social construct and performative and is up to the individual to determine how they wish to fall upon that spectrum. Wow, how radical. Which mm-hmm. actually, considering, it kind of is relative to most societal views. But that's just kind of how it is. So, here we are.
Yeah, and the whole...
Please feel free to mail us hats to call the like SJW cucks. Spend the money on them. We'll wear them.
At foxduffers.com. Well, here's the thing. The whole both sides are bad. It's like, okay, liberals, trans people, women of color, women, period, should have like equal rights
and respect.
Equal and respect and equal opportunity in our society. The other side... I think the Holocaust was a good idea. Hitler did nothing wrong. Sure, these two sides are exactly the same.
Or Confederate monuments are totally fine. Or
literally the most massive fucking participation trophy.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, in Germany, there are not statues of Hitler in various cities in various town squares. Like, you would have, like, a Lee Plaza here with a statue of Robert E. Lee. If there are statues of Hitler, they're in a museum as a monument to our country's biggest mistake in fucking history.
Yeah.
That's why they have the concentration camps are still over there. Because you can go and tour them.
Be like,
because
this
it's a great example of... Let's never fucking let this happen again.
Yeah.
But in America, we still have people flying Confederate flags and worshiping these statues and fighting to not have them taken down. And it's like,
fact,
that's so anti-American. You're saying you're so American, but you're worshiping the people that wanted to leave America.
And the thing is, a lot of those were erected in the early 1900s as fuck yous to blacks.
Right, as the KKK was really in its rise to power in the early part of the 20th century.
The one most recently, the Robert E. Lee statue that was removed in New Orleans, mm-hmm. like, had part of the inscription on the base, like the something about white supremacy that had been covered up for many years. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like these are there as fuck yous to black people. That's what they exist are. There's mm-hmm. no... They didn't exist post-Civil War, really. They were put up in the early 1900s as, well, guess what? You may not be slaves, but you're still, like, lower-class citizens.
Mm-hmm. And we used to own your asses.
Yeah.
And hope to someday again.
So, yeah, and not saying that, like, the writer of the email is a racist or believes that the South will rise again or anything like that. You know, but you did fuel a particular political direction for our discussion to take.
It's mostly, look at what both sides are arguing for. When you listen to what the SJWs and all this, a lot of times they're just saying, fucking respect me and treat me as a goddamn equal. You know, stop yelling slurs at me. Stop, you know...
Quit misgendering people.
Yeah, they're just basically, a lot of what's going on, they're not asking to be treat them better than you. They're asking you just to stop being assholes to them.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to it.
That's I'm going to say, when I first heard the term SJW, you know, I had primarily been exposed to it through Tumblr, and I was very against it. Because mostly what I'd seen were like
the extreme,
the really like Tumblr is like the worst of the worst in both directions, it seems like to me. Like the really, because you can be really extreme on both sides, but it's a lot, it's like less dangerous on the liberal side of things.
Well, and even then, like you have, even if you do have, there's actually a fairly high profile thing where an anti-fan of somebody who didn't like the comics or whatever put needles in cookies, right?
Oh, right. I saw that. Okay, this was a comic book artist at a convention. And you know how sometimes we go to cons and people bring us baked goods or whatever? So somebody brought this artist, I think they were.
Yeah, at some Comic-Con, some and they cookies. Bit into the cookie. As like, hey, I'm a fan of yours. I made you some baked goods. And there was a needle in it, bit and pierced their tongue. Like, oh, it stabbed their tongue.
I thought they'd and they were like, holy shit. Poor biting.
No, they bit into it and it like poked their tongue and they're like, holy fuckballs, what the shit?
Remind me to break open cookies before I eat them.
Yeah, yeah, and like we've joked about it. Like Sparf has brought us cookies back when we went to Flaw.
Zia always brings us cookies.
Mm-hmm. But we also know that Zia and Sparf are good people. They're not going to try to kill us with their delicious baked goods.
Me and Zia swap recipes regularly.
But like also Noxy posted about it. Like, and this is why I don't take cookies from people at conventions. I was like, you know, that's fair. And honestly, like that's a fair, you know, don't take candy from strangers or baked goods in this case. You know, but hey, Zia or Sparf, you can totally bring us cookies because we know who you are and you're not going to try to kill us, probably. You know, but even then, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, maybe – I think the term, again, and I retweeted something like, you know, virtue signaling, expressing any sort of moral opinion that is not explicitly right-wing, you know.
Yeah.
Where it's like we've shifted – the Overton window has been shifted so much that, like, hey, don't be shitty to women – blacks, minorities, disabled people, trans people, anybody who is not a straight white male, hey, let's not, okay, is, oh, fucking SJWs.
Yeah. You know?
yeah.
It's really, it's become, don't be an asshole is, you know, you're
it's
suddenly,
so hard.
Don't be an asshole is like a radical opinion now. It's like, you know?
I don't know how we've gotten to this point of, you know, hey, be nice to people is hard and something that you actively fight against. You know?
And it's actually really easy to just not be a shitty person, you know? I mean, there are certain aspects where I've had to work on. Like, I've had to, like kind of open my mind and try to, like, see things from other people's perspectives and things like that. But like, just not being an asshole on a day-to-day basis is not difficult.
Yeah, you can meet somebody that is an asshole, but you don't get to make that choice based on their color, their sex, their gender presentation.
Remember, everybody can be an asshole.
Hell, you are allowed to like individual people. You are not supposed to be making broad judgments based on X, like all gay people are, you know.
The only color thing I would say is if they have dark skin because they have I am an asshole tattooed all over their body. Yes.
At least they're well labeled then.
Yes. Yes.
You can tell that from a mile away.
They're like a brightly colored snake.
Please don't stab me.
All right, so I think that's about enough on this one, do you think, unless you have more to say?
No, I did have something that I can't remember. Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, going back to, like, the intentionally misgendering people to be a shit, Chelsea Manning got out of prison, right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
National Review wrote an article, and they, like, used male pronouns the entire article.
What the fuck? Why?
Hell, they're right-wing cunts.
I can't believe I just said why. I'm just like, why? Because they're assholes, obviously.
Because they're assholes.
I'm like, but it's like, see, that's like, there's no reason to do that.
Other than I'm going to get triggered, snowflakes, and go, I'm not triggered. I just think you're an asshole.
Yeah.
It's like, and I won't, you know, and I'll think less of people that consume your media.
Could you actually think less of them?
Not really.
Okay.
Like, I'm a very opinionated asshole, and I'm, like, getting real, real fucking tired of being tolerant towards assholes when it comes to, like, you're in my space. You're an asshole.
Did
you're not in my space anymore because you're blocked.
Did you see that article, I think it was Mike put up about the basically Overwatch trolling? So Gal was playing Overwatch. I think she's a streamer, so she was recording it. And basically these two dudes are harassing the fuck out of her the entire goddamn match. Mm-hmm. And none of the other teammates stand up for her or anything else. If anything, they comment on it because they're being distracted by being a troll, not for, hey, you're being a fucking asshole. And for like 16 minutes, these two kids just rip the shit out of her. And she maybe speaks up once or twice. She's playing Mercy, so she's healing their asses off.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I've actually had that shit happen to me. You know, it's been a couple of years, but it's one reason I don't like to talk in groups on, you know, any kind of voice chat with people I don't know. Mm-hmm. Especially like WoW Pugs. What was the other game that I played there? I don't know. There was a couple where voice chat comes as part of it. So, you know, it used to be like when you would pug for WoW, you would do some kind of shout, join up. And then you'd be given a Ventrilo or TeenSpeak.
Yeah.
And then I would just not talk. And because inevitably when I spoke and I was
girl,
a tank.
You're a girl?
Yeah.
Girls can't tank. Why aren't you a healer?
Yeah. And yeah, or
yo, I shit you not, Fuzz. That is a legit opinion some people have. He just made this like incredulous look for those, because this is not a video podcast.
Well, and it's my incredulousness is not that I don't believe you. I'm just sort of like, what the fuck? Why is this a thing? You know?
I don't know, but I would hate talking in any kind of voice chat, you know. I mean, I would run into good groups where it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I would have about a 50-50 shot before somebody started, you know, either A, giving me shit or whispering me weird shit or, you know, it would go from being friendly, and then, oh, you know, can you send me a picture? Mm-hmm. And you know what they say? If you've ever read any of the articles about starting a profile or OkCupid, uh-huh. From firsthand knowledge, mm-hmm. I've made profiles when we were looking for like, because like OkCupid, I think is one of the ones that is okay with Polly. So mm-hmm. we were looking like for some local people to meet, kind of break out of the furry circle, just to meet someone else. You know, meet other fandoms, kind of break up, because our friend circle is very cross-pollinated.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of in it. And, yeah, I outright said in my profile, not looking for men. And then I got bombed with just pushy, and when I didn't respond or I said no thank you, I turned around and I got slammed and called a bitch mm-hmm. and cold. And basically, as soon as I gave any kind of rebuff, or if I didn't, like, you know. No, all that shit is real. All you guys have to do.
Yeah.
Go to OkCupid. Make a profile as a woman. And go out, find some kind of. Don't even go for, like, the super pretty woman. Just find a nice, you know, moderately attractive. Not super haughty. You know, just go for an average-looking woman. Use that as your profile picture. And you watch. And you see. And you try to talk to people and strike up a conversation that's not, you know, where you're just actually trying to talk to someone and have a good time and watch if it doesn't immediately devolve into pictures or do you have a boyfriend or, you know, try to have any kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go well.
If they ask for a picture, I'll just send them a link to that video of the dog sucking its own dick.
The truth. Oh, you want the truth? Mm-hmm. The truth is out there.
So, I'm just saying, if you don't believe this is real, try it.
Oh, yeah. I read that article. I think we talked about it. Where like,
yeah, and I had already gone through that firsthand, and no, it's 100%
accurate.
This
wasn't OkCupid. This was about, there was a guy and a girl were doing the same job at the same company, and mm-hmm. they had a shared mailbox. Mm-hmm. And, like, the guy noticed one day that he was having a really shitty day. Like, everyone was being rude to him. Nobody was taking his suggestions. He's like, what the fuck? These are people I've dealt with before. And then he realized that he had accidentally had his female coworker's email signature. So they thought he was her. So he asks her, is this normal for you? Oh, yeah, all the time. Because her numbers were lower than his. Because she had to work that much harder to, like, convince these men that she wasn't full of shit, that she was right about X issue, whatever yeah. it was, and so forth. So they did this experiment where for, like, a 1 week or 2 weeks, I don't remember what it was, they purposely switched email
and
signatures.
And she was like, it,
and his
well.
Productivity went down, and she's like, I'm having the best week of my career.
There was another thing where, like, Gail Simone, who is mm-hmm. a comics writer,
yeah.
was at a comic shop, and some dude yeah. tried to fucking mansplain her own goddamn comic to her and asked if she was a real fan.
It was like Batman or something.
Yeah, something
she
like that.
For, right?
She writes yeah. this real high-profile shit. Let me look that up real quick. But yeah, like, this shit totally fucking happens, dudes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gail Simone. So,
well, like, a woman posted a link to an article that she had written on Twitter. I don't remember what it was. It was something for, like, for The Economist or something like that. It was something about economics. And this guy responds, well, actually, if you read the article, and she, of course, replied to him, I wrote the article.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so, this mansplaining.
Kale Simone has written for Birds of Prey, which is a Batman spinoff comic, Deadpool, Simpsons, Batgirl, Wonder Woman, Tomb Raider, Red Sonja, Action Comics, and Secret Six. She also worked on the Wonder Woman animated movie, Brave and the Bold, and Justice League Unlimited, which was really good. So there's that. Just one of those things where, like, Gail Simone, total pedigree in comics, random dude. Oh, let me tell you about real fandom of Wonder Woman, Deadpool, whatever.
Yeah.
Christ. Hey, so let's just don't be an asshole, okay? Yeah. Just don't be an asshole to people.
Let's shake this up with a fun email. Oh. This was an on-ask that we got. It's the next
so
one on here.
Now that we've, like, pontificated for, Christ,
all right, so
20 minutes.
Let's see. Anonymous asked a question. Actually, they didn't. They made a statement.
Yes.
My favorite kink is femboys. I love their cute butts, lol.
So, yeah.
So that is not actually a question. That's a statement. Tumblr, get it right.
I do have to say that wasn't me.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Did you not sleep?
I sleep tumbled.
Yeah. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
So we last 2 weeks ago, we had a topic idea that was suggested to us.
People. Oh, that's right. That's why I wrote it out.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking idiot. I'm sorry.
Did you actually write that?
No, I didn't write that. But no, the topic, which you asked me earlier if we had a topic, and I was like, fetishes.
It was your favorite kink. Why?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't got to defend it. Just say why you like it.
Yeah. And got that's what they did. They totally did what we asked them to do, and we were like, ha ha. They didn't write a question.
No, they wrote an answer to a question we posited to them.
God, we're jerks. Anyway, I'll read this one, so I haven't read one. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Anonymous asked a question. Hey, Fuzz and Saverin, it's your friendly black and green rubber wolf here again, and despite the fact I'm the one who suggested the fetish week, I'm finding it hard to actually put pen to ink, as it were. So I'll simply try my best at this and hope it works out. My main fetish is rubber, which I'm sure you'd have never guessed from a rubber wolf.
Wow.
Second would be bondage of nearly any kind, and my tie for third is foot paws, musky scents, and goo takeovers of others. I'd write more, but I've run out of letters.
So, like, rubber and bondage kind of go really hand in hand, and so too does, like, the goo takeover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can see the link of these three.
I've always been curious to try a vac bed. Like, I don't know if I get off on it, but it strikes me as being an interesting sensation to try at some point.
It would either, like, awaken some latent claustrophobia in me and I'd freak the fuck out, or I would find it really comfy. It would be somewhere between those extremes,
yeah.
I think.
Have you seen those big 25-pound blankets that they're putting out there?
See, that right there, I would totally fucking like.
Yeah.
So, for me, mm-hmm. I want blankets.
So, is this a really heavy comforter?
Yeah, it's a 25-pound comforter that you, like, it's supposed to help you feel, like, snuggly and secure. It's like, you know how when you get an x-ray, they've got those leaded soft...
It's called the womb.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that sounds, like, really good. Like, crank the AC down.
I actually found those those leather radiation blocking vests like kind of comfy.
Yeah, so people describe it as kind of like that dense material.
Yeah, yeah.
But you kind of swaddle yourself into this.
So
it's a Kickstarter that's going right now.
Oh. And for the longest time, we had one of those. It was the black and gray fuzzy blanket that was just super fucking heavy. And it's disappeared into the ether now. But mm-hmm. I love that. Even like if it was hot, like I want to be warm and feel the weight of the blankets on me at night.
Yeah, that's one reason why we crank the AC down so hard is so that we can have all the piles of blankets.
Panther's sleeping in his boxers on top of the sheet, and I'm like sheet, quilt, rainbow comforter.
Yeah, you want a tunnel.
Wearing like sweatpants. Because even if I wake up a little sweaty, I want that just thing.
And that drove me nuts. When I lived over in Oz, they had pretty much weather exactly like this, except because it was kind of drier and higher up the mountains. Around 4 a.m., the fucking temperature would drop out the bottom of the thermometer, and you would wake up freezing. But my ex's family had no AC, which means that during the day, it got hot as balls in the house.
Right.
And it was stifling hot when you went to bed at like 10, 11.
And at night,
you're freezing. And then like around 3 a.m., I'd wake up and it'd be fucking frozen. But I, because it was like 95 in the room, I slept with either just a sheet or nothing at all because fuck that noise.
Yeah.
And it drove me nuts because I missed the comfy weight of the blankets. Mm-hmm. But even if it's 95, there's no way.
Yeah.
I can put anything on. So, I miss the big, heavy blankets.
Yeah.
So, we've now tangented from rubber to vac beds to comfy blankets.
Well, it sort of goes together, going back to the vac beds and wanting to feel like...
My fetish is comfy blankets.
I can't come unless I'm swaddled up like a baby. And again, that goes into other fetishes, which people call threats in about their shit.
No, that'd be unbirthing, you know? Like, I'm inside a womb, I'm going to
I am not going to let anyone wear me like a fucking hat. I've seen videos. No.
Just like
if you're inside...
Just like an American Gods.
So if you're inside a womb and you jerk off and you... inseminate one of the other eggs.
I've seen art of that.
God damn it! I'm trying to think of something crazy, and you're like, "Yeah, seen it." Yeah.
Yep.
Then you basically are bored with your own brother son.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hashtag brother son on E621. I don't know.
You know,
I'm sure it's a thing.
It could be a thing.
Why don't you read the next emails?
All right, so this one's titled My First Email to You Guys. This day today is my first time listening to you lovely furs, and I can tell you're very funny, and I heard your friend was in the hospital, and I wish them to get well soon.
Well, here I am.
Yep. Now, the theme you said in Ep 347, kinks. My favorite is bondage. I don't know why, but I just like it. I hope you read this. With love, Coffee to Finnegwolf. Well, being tied up is fun. You like it? Cool. It floats your boat.
Yay.
And or your goat.
Oh, this is a long one.
All right, well.
I might as well.
There's two of these that are like, I think all three of our remaining emails are somewhat long.
They are, so. Yes.
The second one in here is warning, like, Wall of Dex, do not give to Shiva.
Well, guess what?
I'm fucked. Either way we go. So
this last one actually looks like the shortest of the three. So.
All right, well, here we go. It has no subject, so your guess as well as mine. Let's see. Hey, it's an anonymous fox sending a message to get the cast's thoughts of my situations. I found myself in a very serious relationship with an otter that has been going on for quite some time now, a little over a year currently. We're both the same age in our 20s, and we met at a room party I'd thrown at a furry con. I know it sounds really cheesy, but it's the closest thing to love at first sight I've ever experienced. We instantly clicked really well, not just personality-wise, but sexually as well. It's great to have found someone whose brand of weird clicks go so well with mine. We have visited each other multiple times now, usually for a week or so at a time. He seems to get along well with the other furries that live in my house and some of the furs around here. My mate wants to leave where he's at, and I have the opportunity to allow him to move in with me. The job market is very good where I live, and my mate has the skills to be able to further his career in my area. As a result, we've made plans for him to move in with me at the end of summer. It sounds swimming so wire, so, you know. Naturally,
it sounds swimming because he's an otter.
Yeah. Naturally, I'm very excited and nervous at the same time. I've never felt so dedicated to any partner I've had in my whole life. I know that we've can manage disagreements and have handled some very stressful hurdles that only have ultimately pushed us closer together. I'm confident that we will be able to make this work. But from the cast, I'd like to know, is there anything I should do to help it make it easier for us? Any tips for moving in with a partner for the first time? Or any possible tips when dealing with an LDR coming to be a real life? I'm just very excited, anxious, and nervous. Any advice or insight would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Notcasters. Love you guys. An anonymous fox. P.S. We're gay males, and I live in the capital city of a certain southern state. And he's moving from about 1,000 miles away and is used to living in a state that doesn't have many people as well. We're also both currently financially independent, and we're capable of affording to support ourselves. I don't know. It sounds like a pretty textbook good situation to me.
Yeah, sounds like a recipe for success.
I don't know. Sit down, have a discussion on what chores everybody loves and hates. Try to identify the things that really kind of make you twitch. Like, do dirty dishes bug you? Or, goddammit, clean the cat box? Or whatever. Try to figure out where your pain points are going to be and figure out how to mitigate them.
Blowing your nose on my shirt while I'm wearing it.
You know.
Jerking off into the laundry.
Not really a thing I've actually done.
No,
a lot of it is going to be, it's going to be kind of like you with your housemates as it is, only a little bit more on an intimate scale.
Mm.
It should hopefully turn into something where you guys can bounce off each other with a lot more trust. And I don't want to use the word codependence because it's got negative
connotations.
Yeah, connotations. Mm. But it's basically you'll both learn to take up the slack where the other one,
fill the holes in each other. Yeah.
Like I love to cook, but, you know, Cyan will clean up the kitchen after me. Then again, mm-hmm. he also has a tasty meal and doesn't have to cook.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of figure out where you balance out. I cook. Siam cleans. Sarah takes out the trash. Where it comes to the lawn, you know, Sarah and Dave will mow the lawn and, you know, I'll do some stuff like in the hedges and I'll clean up like the flower beds with all the crap that's got left behind in there. So you just kind of figure out how to split up everything and
the division of labor.
It's not just labor, it's also emotional too, but same idea, you know?
One day your mate will seize the means of production.
Which is your
balance
dick.
Will shift.
Oh. Well, actually,
I was laughing when you said that you jerk off in the laundry, and I immediately got this image in my head of the semen stream, like, circling around in this tumbler effect and just, like, getting on everything.
You thought about that, but I thought, don't people use socks?
Rereading the email, it's like, well, you've done things pretty much how you ought to.
At this
you've
point,
seen each other for weeks at a time.
How you otter.
There we go.
At this point, I think you're pretty well set up. It's going to be a matter of move in and negotiate until you guys find your footing and away you go.
Yeah, I mean.
And also not sweating the little stuff. You know, like I've talked about on the podcast before, you know, everyone has those
cabinets.
Those cabinets.
Everybody has those cabinets.
Those irritating little foibles. And you have to kind of decide what you're willing to live with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, you know, blowing your nose on your shirt while you're wearing it, not cool. But, you know, maybe like not quite closing the cabinet all the way. Maybe you can live with that, and you just take care of it yourself.
Cabinets are just the best example that I could ever think of. Tyrion and his cabinets.
I think I told him that I used that as an example. You know, and now I've got two of them, because Ajax does it as well. So, you know, I just go through the kitchen on the way to the coffee maker, thump, 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 Curigon. That's my morning.
You've got another one.
Yes, but it Ajax will cook for me, too. So it's nice. Get you a dog who could do both.
Well, I've taught Sarah how to make some stuff. Dave has got most of my recipes down.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I can give him a rough coaching and he can do most of them. But he doesn't really want to do them.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I'll both make them sous chef. Like, you chop that, you do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just I need to cook more for Panther, but often he gets home late and is just like, I'm going to have a sandwich and go to bed. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want to throw in there onto this conversation that definitely, you probably notice if you've been long distance, but definitely communication is key. Never go to bed angry. If something comes up, make your partner talk about it, you know, until they tell you what's wrong, you know, none of this mind reading shit, and actually talk out your issues and spend time together and talk together.
Don't just get after you've been living together for a year and a half, 2 years, you know, you just get stuck in a rut and you don't do any of the special things for each other anymore.
Right. Or you start to drift and it becomes more like just having a housemate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
now we have two more long ones.
Yep.
Not mine.
You have read it.
Yours is tucked back.
I don't have to tuck.
Check it. Oh, okay, so my turn, right? All right. Excuse me. Furdue 2017 con report. Warning, wall of text ahead, do not give to Shiva. G'day, screaming pheasant, fuzzy waffle, and cat couch. Torvald Wolf here, writing in from the deathly southern continent of Australia. Short-time listener, first-time writer, I have been slowly working my back through the archives, starting from episode 344 and just past episode 298, and have been enjoying it immensely. But getting more relevant things, I don't have a fetish or kink that turns my crank, to use a well-worn phrase, as I'm... What's that word, Saverin?
Interface?
No, I was waiting for you to mispronounce asexual again.
How did he pronounce it the first time?
Asexual.
Short A instead of long.
Like, asexual what? Asexual. I'm asexual.
I'm a sexual dynamo.
As I'm asexual, and I know that there are asexuals out there that do have kinks and turn-ons, but I don't. I also don't judge others for their kinks or fetishes. In fact... Some find me quite odd, as I find the topic of sex, sexuality, and sexual expression a fascinating topic of discussion and freely encourage the discussion of said topics with those willing in appropriate situations, of course. I just imagine an asexual approaching this like, is this what you humans call kissing? Like Kirk meeting alien babes.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Which is why I really like your podcast, but enough about that. On to the reason I'm writing in. Recently here in the land of Oz, Furdue happened with the theme of Outback, and boy do I have a tale to tell. It's been a very furry year for me, as my first ever furry event was getting to be a part of the Oz First Float for the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade earlier in the year. Thanks to a friend who organizes it, after having been lurking on the outskirts of the fandom for the last 10 or so years. But Furdue was my first furry con. I was finally in a place where I could attend a con without starving myself. Very uncharacteristic for a furry, I know. But as I said earlier, I'm an odd little fuzzball. I traveled up to the con with a fellow furry friend by car. 7 hours later, we arrived on the Gold Coast in the Mantra On View Hotel, checked in, dropped our bags in the room, and just missed early badge pickup by 15 minutes. Oh well, we instead went down to the hotel lobby to people watch, seeing as the only person I knew there was my friend, and she was in the same boat as me. We just sat down and watched some of the fursuiters as they milled about being cute. Cut to the next morning, Reg opened at 10, and we were able to collect our badges and con shirt and milled around for a little while we waited for the first panel to start, which was a My First Fur Con panel. Now, I've seen several of these on YouTube before, but my friend hadn't, and I also met the first of many new friends there. After that was an icebreakers panel meant to help reluctant first-time furries to get to know one another. Following on from there was a Bring Your Character to Life panel about the different methods and techniques on making a fursuit and how to add character to your character with different props, movements, and little quirks. From there, I split with my friend. I attended the Furries for YouTube panel hosted by Fox of Like a Fox Productions, Pokari Roo, Awesome Rusty Rex, and Aussie Lovetail, all about starting and maintaining a YouTube channel, which I have some thoughts about doing. While she attended the Furries After Dark panel talking about kink and what gets the furry motor running. Then it was on to opening ceremonies. The Furdue opening ceremony prides itself on being as short as possible, and it was. Lasting only 20 minutes, then it moved on to a furry game show, which was fun to watch, and I was able to join with some of the audience participation games. Now after that, we headed for dinner, and this is where things went from being good to fracking amazing. My friend ran into an old acquaintance, and we met up for dinner with a few other furs and headed out to a little Italian restaurant a short walk from the hotel, and we all got along really well. After dinner, we headed back to their room for a few drinks and to talk some more. The discussion made its way around to fursuits and fursuiting in general. I mentioned that I'd like to get a fursuit at some point down the line, but that I was nervous about getting one as I had no experience with wearing full-body costumes, and I didn't want to invest the money in getting one commissioned or getting materials to make one myself, only to find that it's not for me, then have to deal with selling it. The next thing I know, I'm being shown a chocolate Labrador fursuit and being told that I could borrow him to wear in the fursuit parade that was happening the next day.
Was it delicious?
Yes. To say I was shocked and amazed would be an understatement. I tried him on, and he didn't quite fit me, but that's to be expected, as he was not mine, but I didn't care. I lounged around in suit for a little while, just getting comfortable with wearing and moving around and acting like a big doggo. Soon, bed was calling us. We made arrangements for the next day and then said our goodbyes. Day 2, dawn of the second day. I woke up excited. After having breakfast with some of our new friends, I attended Tales from the Con panel, a con horror stories panel hosted by some of the current and former staff, just telling funny and interesting stories from cons they've either helped or staffed at. And I'm wondering how that would go if we actually did that. Like, how could you... like, tell, like, let me tell you about this shithead that got banned in year 3, you know, that, like, you couldn't really do that, and that'd be difficult. Well, you'd have to think of other things, I guess, but that's just where my mind goes. Next up for me was the fursuiting panel. For those who want to look at commissioning a fursuit, they listed some of the more popular fursuit makers. How you go about contacting a maker, what information you need to supply to the maker if you get a slot, pricing for different makers and their turnaround times, and the different styles that are out there from toony to semi-realistic to full realistic to skinning a real werewolf and wearing his flesh, and the pros and cons that come with them. Things like amount of vision, comfort, washability, and a few various other things that I hadn't really thought about, like construction method. SPHs, walking around on all fours, sniffing each other's butts in order to get to know them, and peeing on trees. After that, I had an hour to catch up with my new friend and collect his fursuit so I could get dressed and ready for the fursuit parade, which literally walks out the front doors of the hotel and down onto the beach where we pose for the public to take pictures and have a little bit of fun running around on beach. Question, do you guys know that meme of the guy dancing, jogging down his street to Aha's Take On Me? Do you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. If you do, you'll get a kick out of what happened next. Some first started playing that song, and we started a giant conga line snaking its way through the sea of furries and normies dancing like idiots. It was so much fun. After we got back to the hotel, an announcement was made. The Impossible Fursuit Charades was moved from Sunday to right then. My friend, it wasn't impossible enough before. Well, now you have no time to practice because it's right now. Making it even more possible. Surprise panel. My friend asked me if I wanted to give it a go, and I wholeheartedly agreed and had a lot of fun pantomiming things like Donald Trump and having dinner with Hitler. But the final charade was the best. They had us all up on stage, and the prompt was breaking the magic. Once the guesser was ready, we all pulled our heads off, and they didn't get it. What? And they didn't get it. The crowd was laughing while we're up there headless, trying to mime casting spells and pulling rabbits out of our heads like top hats.
Ah, they were ruining the magic.
After that was over, I went back to my room to de-suit and air him out from the day's use, and then shower. I have heard wearing a fursuit described like wearing a couch, but honestly, I didn't think it was so bad. Sure, I was sweating slightly by the end of the day, but I had been in a suit for close to four and a half hours. Might be I'm used to this sort of thing, as I wear a lot of thick, heavy clothing all year round, because I have a massive comforter at home that I call my vulva that I like to curl up in. Okay, maybe not. For also work being a medieval reenactor, I wear several layers of wool regularly in the middle of summer, but I'm tangenting. After a shower, it was back down to the beach to watch a special once-off performance of a fire-breathing dragon fursuit with friends before dinner, and then we all went back to my room for a few drinks. It was a bit cramped, so we went to another friend's room in a hotel next to ours. We sat and talked late into the night. Eventually, the day caught up with me, and I nearly passed out on their couch. With that, me and my roommate said our goodnights and walked back to our room, and I promptly passed out from exhaustion and adrenaline endorphin crash and sleep, and slept the sleep of the dead. Third and final day, again, started with breakfast with friends, then the fursuit games, which was fun to watch for a while, then I joined my friend upstairs in the chill-out zone, where they had a music jam session going. Listening to a couple of songs and talked engineering and troubleshooting with the guy who owned the fire-breathing dragon suit from the night before.
It's like, man, the fire jets keep catching the head on fire, but it's super cool.
Then I wandered into the dealer's den for the first time that weekend and looked at all the different things people had for sale. Stopped at the Jaffa Books table to pick up two books on Fuzz's recommendation. First was Gods of Fur, and second was Black Angel. Yes, good choices. Then I started talking with one of the guys behind the desk about asexuality as I picked out Black Angel, and little did I know I was talking to none other than the guest of honor and author of said book, Kyle Gold. So when I picked it up and went to pay for it, he asked me if I wanted it signed, and I gave him a confused look, at which point it dawned on me just who I was talking with. I handed the book over, and after he signed it, I thanked him and talked a little bit about both his podcast, Unsheathed, and your podcast, then wandered the rest of the dealer's den. Just a little starstruck. I should have read that all as one sentence, sorry. The next panel I attended was a Q&A with Kyle, where he read an excerpt from his next book. I sadly can't remember the title, but it sounded good. And if I remember it, I might pick up a copy. After that was the Furs and Humanity panel, which was a good laugh for all. With, you know, what's funny, I was just thinking, I was going to say, oh, I bet he read from, no, I know of at least like three or four books that he's written or are coming out soon. So I'm like, no, I don't know which one he read from, because he writes so damn much. Anyway, after that was the Furs and Humanity panel, which was a good laugh for all, with all the winning answers drawn by a guest artist and then put into the charity auction. After a short break, the closing ceremony started, and like the opening, it was a short and sweet. Then the auction started. There were so many things in auction, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to bid on. I did end up getting a cute little fox pencil case for my roommate. She loved it. And I was outbidded on two items I was interested in. One was a sign that was styled after Australian fire danger rating signs, but instead showed the furry danger rating. It went for $300. And the next item was the original artwork for next year's con theme. It went for $400. All in all, after the auction finished and the amount was totaled, the con had raised nearly $5,000 from charity, from a con that only had about 550 to 600 people attending. After that was done, again, dinner, then a short rest before going down shaking my tail at the dead dog dance. It was a great way to end my first furry con, and will definitely be back next year. And my friend and I have lots of ideas for things we can do to tie into next year's theme, which is film noir. Ooh, cool. That's all from me for now. Sorry if I rambled on in places and for any spelling or grammar errors. Until next time, Torvald Wolf, the Aussie Viking blacksmith.
Cool. Oh,
there you go.
Sounds like you had a fun time down at 30. Like
That's cool. Yeah, I was really happy that Jaffa got to go to that con too, since Kyle was a GOH, and it was a good opportunity for them to sell some of Kyle's books and for him to be there to sign for people and everything.
Okay, so
back around to you, Savern.
Yep. You requested fetish information, Ellipsis. Buckle up, Homestuck. So, greetings, folks. You may have noticed from the moments I'm alive in your delightful fan chat that I'm into muscular males with low body fat percentages, a.k.a. ripped dudes. I accept that beauty is only skin deep. This is fine by me being horribly squeamish and scared of blood. My vague recollections of first becoming aware of this was seeing a boxing match on TV when I was quite young. I can tell you that participants were not heavyweight. Looking back, the match must have been near its conclusion, as there seemed to be more hugging going on than anything else. Every time the referee broke them up and things were started, a couple punches were thrown and then back to the hugging. There you go, watching two shirtless muscular guys in a boxing ring holding on to each other may have affected my development. I can't explain what it is that I find most attractive to said muscular males other than describing them as being so very there. It makes sense inside my head. It also may be worth noting that I like to see nipples. Again, I don't know why, but if they aren't depicted, I find something about a character's sexuality goes missing. I remember at some stage in the fan chat, Fuzz suggesting that there were not much difference between breasts and pecs. I can see his point, and at the same time, he's completely wrong. One is made of muscle, and the other isn't. Aside from the fact that they are roughly similar in shape and can be enjoyed in roughly the same way, at least in a sexual setting, I find one a turn on and the other a turn off. You may have also noted that I collect vacuum cleaners. Most people find this out, assume it's a fetish of some kind. No, and thrice no. Under no circumstance should any part of the human body be introduced into moving machinery. There have been cases where gentlemen have been castrated either by their own misadventure or a well-meaning partner that hasn't realized that brush bars can rotate at well over 1,000 RPM. It brings a whole new meaning to the old slogan, it beats as it sweeps as it cleans.
Oh my god.
Anyway, now that I've rambled on and given you all another mental scar to add to your collections, have a picture of a character that has a body fat percentage so low that he's probably clinically dead. Still, this is a fetish. So long as it stays as art, I don't have to worry about the details. Regards, Funer Eshurbruba. Yes, my interest in contact sports doesn't go far beyond hot naked guys. And he totally... It is a hypermuscular Greymon, or it's a blue Digimon with the chevron on his forehead. I don't know. I think it's not Guilemon. I think it's Greymon. It's not the werewolf one. Anyways, yeah, he has like zero body fat, like all the layers of muscle. Muscle. Christ.
Muscle.
it's 10:30. We're old. We need to go to bed.
The muscles are the interface between the bones and the skin.
So yes. That picture, there's a cat in the picture. Do you see the cat?
Yes, top left. It is. Shiva has shown me a picture of a kitchen.
There's a cat in that picture.
Oh wow!
It has found the nook at the top of the cabinet.
Oh wait, I was looking on top of the fridge. Oh my god! Look at his little face poking out.
It's like there's a cabinet, there's a fridge, then there's the cabinets on top of the fridge, and then there's a small gap on top of the cabinets made by a rafter, and you just see like one eye and one ear poking out.
City cat.
Nice. So thank you for writing in, guys. You've contributed to the discussion and helped make this a very long episode. Like, holy shit, it's 1:45 at this point. Also, just as a random thing, apparently, the guys behind Night in the Woods are just talking about, like, hey, we're gonna have a merch store for Night in the Woods. It's gonna be a bunch of everything. Hope you like everything with my brand on it. And someone like immediately linked him the Spaceballs, the flamethrower. Kids love this. And he retweeted it because people beat me to doing the very same thing I would have totally replied with. Night in the Woods, the knife for crimes. So that's neat. That is, again, that's like the most recent game that I've played all the way through. Nice. Interviewer, how'd you build your audience? Me, I just kept posting about whatever I wanted. Interviewer, that's not a strategy. Me, yeah. So, we're going to wrap this up at this point because it is 10:27 p.m.
It is time to do nighttime wrapping up and things.
Yes, and if I'm going to be a crazy person and wake up at 6:30 to be at Toys R Us at 7 a.m. to stand in knife fight with people for Switches, I'm probably not going to do it.
Have they fixed some of the launch shit?
This is back into a discussion segment because I've been a big whiny bitch about not being able to find the Nintendo Switch. A big whiny bitch for Nintendo Switch. Yeah. So, I can't find one of these fucking things. They went up on Amazon briefly, like, to the point where I was able to see them at the Amazon Prime for Prime members only. Amazon got a tiny, tiny thing, and they sold out both times in the time that I clicked on the $2.99, add to cart. Oh, sorry. And then went back to showing the motherfucker scalper prices. Mm. Those guys are up against the wall second after the revolution comes. So, just so you know.
But didn't the launch boxes still have, like, a whole bunch of issues?
They had some issues, yeah. But they've not ever been able to have any sort of demand. Either the scalpers get them and mark them the fuck up, because they need to be fucking castrated and their fingers snipped off with cigar cutters, or they just don't have enough. And what sucks, and this is actually something that really, really sucks for people that work at Toys R Us. So they announced, we're getting Switches. We're going to have Switches at all of our Toys R Us's on date. Only in store, so you got to show up in person. And as somebody who worked at Toys R Us at the launch of the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, let me fucking tell you that motherfuckers are crazy, and they will threaten you when you run out. And I can guarantee you pretty much that each store probably got a box of each. That is probably, say, 8 units total. And those are going to go out immediately, and then throughout the rest of the day, oh, we got an email saying that y'all had Switches in stock. And the poor fucker back in the video game department has to say, yeah, we had 8. Yeah, we had 4. We don't have any more. And they will get yelled at and grumped at, and it'll be one of their worst fucking days in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
As somebody, like, and again, I, you know, people are like, oh, what's the worst customer service thing? I was physically threatened by a group of teens because we were sold out of 360s on launch day because we got 8 units. We got 4 that had the hard drive, 4 that didn't, and even the ones without hard drives got bought up second, but we didn't have any more.
If they were smart, they'd have, like, a security dude back by that counter to prevent that shit, you know?
I'm just like, yo, look, if I had one, I'd sell it to you. I'm not hiding that shit.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Why would I hide it from you? It's not that fucking...
Like, your money is just as good as anyone else's, dude. I know. So...
I don't know if I...
I'm probably not going to do it. And again, I have car stuff to worry about. Like, but I can guarantee you that it's going to be a fucking blood sport for those poor fuckers at Toys R Us tomorrow, and it's going to suck. So if you do go out there to Toys R Us, realize you're not going to probably get one, and don't be... Well, actually, this is going to go up tomorrow, so it'll be too late anyway. But...
Don't be asshole.
Don't be a shit to people at stores.
They, like, get what they get.
It's not their fault. Now, if you're a fucker at GameStop and you try to pitch me on your $500 bundles, well, fuck you. But that's also probably not your fault either.
Because they're being pushed by management to push the goddamn bundles.
No. Just tell me you don't have any for sale at the store. Don't try to tell me to go online and buy this $500 bundle that has games I don't want. I want Zelda. I want Mario Kart. I don't want any other shit. I want Isaac. I want Pai Pai Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't in the bundles. You can get 1-2 Switch, or Snipper Clips, or games that I'm not interested in. Ah. Anyways, fuck that you. Is neither here nor there. Just don't be a dick to retail employees. It's not their fault.
Most of the time, they're being told to push things that they don't agree with, but Lord help them if they don't.
Like the fucking replacement plans. So actually, right here. So I got one of these. I got this little Vaporeon plush, Toys R Us exclusive, right? It was like $15. Really cute. It's still in this little box. The gal at the checkout was like, do you want a replacement plan on that? And I'm like, it's a plush. And she's like, I have to ask. And I'm like, I know. No. Anyways, So if you have made it to the end of the show, Gold Star! Feel free to call us SJW Cucks in the comments. Or not. So, as always, you can contact us at notcast@foxcyphers.com. Notcast.tumblr.com to our Tumblr Anon Quests. Anon Asks.
I'm rubbing off again.
Yes, it's also late. And
God, Shiva, save it for your bedroom.
I mean,
we didn't even get into our favorite kinks.
Oh, shit, that's right. It'll be a mystery for next week.
Or look at my FA gallery.
Yeah, like the FA gallery. It's kind of there.
Mine aren't really there because mine's really hard to draw.
You know, we get it. You vape. Well, anyways, so you can find me on Twitter at Sovereign Drake. You can find me on YouTube at Just a Fox. I haven't streamed in a while. I'd like to stream, but man, depression's a bitch. Anyways.
Life has gotten you.
Oh my God, yes. It's been a rough couple weeks. It's been a rough year so far.
Yeah. Really.
Like, anyways, Shiva, where can they find you now that you exist again?
You can find me on Twitter as Chimera, KHYMAERA. You can find me on Telegram, same thing. Most of the time, I mean, it's that or you'll find me on Battle.net. That's about it. And I don't remember my numbers off the top of my head. Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't been super social, like, last couple of years. I don't know why.
Mm.
So, you?
Oh, I'm at Fuzzwolf on Twitter. And if you want to, quote, buy my books, you go to furplanet.com or our ebook store, baddogbooks.com. And we are at furplanet and at baddogbooks on Twitter. And that's about it. I occasionally will post things to my FA, like commissions and stuff like that. So I'm Fuzzwolf on there. Oh, and something we didn't mention earlier, you can also check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/notcast if you want to donate like a buck an episode or whatever.
Yep. So. It's appreciated. All right, so that wraps it up for this week's episode. Let us know what you think. Email us, all that fun stuff. And on that note, good night.
And big balls.
That's my kink.